We are back, Styles and Watkins, joined by the one, the only Michelle Beadle. And we are joined thanks to Jiffy Lube. Sactown Sports Road Trip to Radio Row in Las Vegas is brought to you by our friends at Jiffy Lube. When it's time for a road trip, visit Jiffy Lube for all your automotive maintenance needs. Jiffy Lube is your road trip headquarters. And as we are joined by Michelle Beadle, from Beadle and Decker, yes. Weekdays from 9 a.m. to noon Pacific on Sirius XM's Mad Dog Sports Radio channel. This is not your first time in Vegas.
In Vegas? God, no.
I was going to No. It's the first time. They need a reason.
Know,
yeah.
I do like to gamble a little bit. So to me, it's like a fun place. But being here for this feels like a completely different place.
Yeah.
But this
yeah.
doesn't feel like maybe because we're actually being responsible and working and it's only halfway through the week. So yes. I feel like you can't go hard.
Yeah. Earlier on, Chris said, we've been here all week and we got in last night.
Yeah.
So that's
thank you.
Yeah.
I got in Sunday. I drove in from LA, got in Sunday
drove
afternoon.
In. Wow.
Yeah. Cause the rain was coming. I was let me just get out of here. Mm-hmm. Lost a bunch of money in like 45 minutes and then went to my room. I was like, I haven't even started yet.
What's your game?
Setting the tone.
So I'm like a nerd. I like blackjack, but I also like the higher limit slots.
Okay.
And that's where all my monies went.
Wow. Wow. Hey, you enjoyed it. You enjoyed
for
it.
For a minute. Because yeah. you're like, I'm up. And it's gone.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah, that's definitely a pretty big problem that I'm having. It's, yeah. It feels great when you're up. But once it goes down, it just feels like
amazing.
It just starts tumbling incredibly quickly.
And then you're chasing it. Now we're in trouble.
And that's exactly what happens every single time. Michelle, I'm curious. I know we're at Super Bowl and this
yes.
is all about football, but I am a huge basketball fan. I love basketball. You have the pleasure of working on a show that involves
yes.
Shams Charania,
the best,
who is one of the newsbreakers in basketball. And, you know, we're here in Sacramento. We hear things locally, mm-hmm. like little whispers that just never reach public consumption. I'm just curious, like, what kind of things does Shams tell you that just never reach the light of day? And you're just like,
it's crazy.
What?
Well, first of all, he has one phone because people mm-hmm. are always like, how many phones? It's just the one. And
wow.
he'll sometimes, because I'm fascinated with how he gets some of the information.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the conversations that happen that don't come to fruition,
exactly.
like, oh, they were going to trade
yes.
for. And then it doesn't work. So sometimes he'll share some of those types of stories. He's in trade deadline mode right now. Like
right.
He's in a hole.
He's
I'm
in
assuming,
home.
Yeah.
He's at home.
Yeah.
He won't fly during trade deadline week because of the Wi-Fi. He's worried on the plane he might not have good Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
So he's literally flying here like Thursday night after the deadline passes. I've never met a younger old man in my
yeah.
entire life.
How old is he? Because
he's
he
like
is
20 something. He's a child. Literally, could be his mom.
Yeah.
And yet. You wouldn't know because he's so wise and mature. And and then I work with Chandler Parsons and Lou Will, who've been drunk since they got here. So I'm just sitting there going, this is a weird juxtaposition.
Yeah.
Of
yeah. yeah. Well, that's what makes the show great. And
yeah.
while we're on basketball, before we got plenty of time to talk
sure.
football,
yeah.
how do you view the Sacramento Kings right now? Sucking that fifth seed. We call it the second tier
yeah.
of the Western Conference. I've been on record saying they weren't going to make a move. This
oh,
about
still
a month
24
ago.
Hours, man. There's still
they were
some
never
time,
going
okay.
to. I've been saying this for a month, right? And now with the trade deadline, it's upon us. What do you think about the Kings? Let's just assume they, at this point, they don't make a move.
Yeah.
Would it be a mistake? What's their ceiling as presently constructed?
That's the thing is, like, I was at the game when they played the Warriors when Draymond came back from that suspension, which
mm-hmm.
was weird because it was in San Francisco and he got a standing ovation. I was like, this is not a good
yeah.
message.
Yeah.
But okay. And so, and then De'Aaron Fox got hurt. So it was just like, this is a fun up-and-coming team. My question, though, is if they did make a move, what would you want to move for? Because who do you get rid of? I don't really
yeah.
know that I want to move anybody off the team.
Mm-hmm.
The West is an interesting place right now because it looks like, you know, knock on wood for them, but the Clippers seem to have figured something out.
Yes.
And, you know, as a Laker hater, I'm all for that, obviously. But it's, yeah, and the Warriors are not going to be
yep.
an issue. So it's just kind of a weird time for the Kings because it's kind of open. I mean, I know you got the Nuggets, obviously.
Right.
And I think the Clippers are going to be there as well. But I don't know that you want to make a big move. And I don't know if there's anybody out there that I'm willing to give someone up to bring in. That's the bigger
right.
issue, I think.
And the big question, too, is just is there truly a window of opportunity here? And if you look, I mean, there's been some parity in the NBA,
for sure,
unlike that's been in the past. I mean, the NBA is kind of a league of dynasties in a way,
yeah,
where, you know, it's the Bulls win six and the Spurs and then the Warriors. Yeah. And now you have teams, it seems like every single year we're getting different matchups. Do you feel like now would be the time to strike,
yes,
or should the Kings be a little bit more reserved and maybe wait out their timeline?
I mean, I would wait it out in the sense that I don't see anybody who's on this, you know, so-called list of people that may not get traded in the next 24 hours. I don't know that I'm adding any of them to this Kings team. I wouldn't mess it. There are a few teams like that. I mean, like Oklahoma City, I'm not buying that they're going to be in the conference finals at the end, but they're, yeah, certainly fun to watch right now.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mess that up either. Like, mm-hmm, I'm not adding to that. I think the Knicks are an interesting position,
yeah,
right now because they are so much fun to watch. The East for me is open. Like, mm-hmm, I buy none of the teams in the,
yeah,
East at,
right,
this point. I mean, the Bucks, I don't know what they're doing. And that's, you know, poor Doc. I'm like, yeah, that's a whole nother situation.
Poor Doc.
Oh, dude, that man has a horseshoe up his bum. That's,
yeah,
the luckiest man
luckiest
in the
man
world.
On the planet.
You could bring him to Vegas.
Good God. I just, like, it's crazy to me. I like the guy. He used to be our color analyst with the, mm-hmm, Spurs back when I was like a kid.
Yeah.
So it was awesome. But yeah, I wouldn't do anything crazy. I think the Lakers will probably make a move because that's what they,
right,
do. And we've got, you know, we got the LeBron cryptic emoji tweets, mm-hmm, so something,
yes,
has to happen.
Right.
Hourglass.
By the way,
what does that mean?
By the way,
what does
I love
that
it.
Even mean?
What are you
I love
doing?
It. I'm a conspiracy theory guy. I love it all. Give me the tinfoil hats.
He's 40. What,
yeah,
are we,
yeah,
doing?
Come on.
Yeah, yeah. He's 30. Is he still 39?
Ah,
still
you
39.
Round up at this point.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true.
Sometimes I look at it and I'm like, this is like what a 19-year-old girl does when her boyfriend just broke up with her and she puts like a cryptic tweet out,
yeah,
there. And you're like, what,
yeah,
does it mean?
Yeah.
Come,
yeah,
on.
Talking to Michelle Beadle, host of Beadle and Decker weekdays from 9 a.m. to noon on Sirius XM's Mad Dog Sports Radio channel. Let's get into some football
all
now.
All right, let's talk about
all
it.
All right. And maybe I've been asking so many people this, and I'm waiting for somebody to be on the same side as me.
Uh-oh.
And Michelle, I think you are that
pressure.
Person.
Okay.
No. You have to be this person. All right. Can we say that the whole Brock Purdy game manager thing, can we say it's done?
Yes.
If everybody is saying, put some respect on his name, isn't he now respected?
I don't get it. Because if you took a person who's never watched a football game, mm-hmm, in your life and you explained, these are all the teams, at the end, two will be left standing because they were the best, and, mm-hmm, then they play for the big dog.
Right.
Then they would be like, okay, cool. So these are the two quarterbacks for those teams. You wouldn't have to sit there and then explain all these asterisks about how, well, this one's just a game manager,
right,
and a system,
right,
player. He's here. Mm-hmm. His numbers are great, mm-hmm, across the board. I don't know where the origin of sort of the doubt comes from. I don't know if it's because he looks like a nerd that never changes his facial expression.
We call him a tech bro.
By the way, it's gotten so bad, guys, that today, every time I look up, there'd be like a nondescript white dude walking around. I was like, Is that Brock? I think that's Brock Purdy.
You know,
guys.
People are calling it draftism. Okay, being the last
yeah,
pick in the draft.
But isn't that cool? This is why we have movies,
right,
for stories like this.
It's cool, but that's why people are saying it can't be him.
But Tom Brady was sixth round. Like, what are
you're
we
not
doing?
Wrong.
It's not like he was drafted in the first round. We have undrafted dudes that go on to be superstars.
Yeah.
There's something about this kid who's, again, doesn't change his facial expression, which does start to scare me after,
yeah,
a while. It's very sociopathic at some point, right? Like, are we being honest right now?
Yeah.
I can't wait to see if he wins and we get to see a change,
yeah,
that might be worth it for all of this in the end.
Yeah.
And then I wonder what the haters will say if that happens. Like, how do we excuse that?
That's what I was going to ask you is do
yeah,
you think it stops? If Brock wins the Super Bowl, does the hate stop, or is it just on to something else that you can critique?
It's going
to
be on
for
something else. It'll be, yeah, like, oh, yeah, he had like threw for three touchdowns and an interception. Yeah. See? The interception.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, hold up. Like, yeah, what are we talking about right now? So there's a part of me that I don't have a horse in the race at all. I don't necessarily care who wins. I like the stories. I'm kind of pulling for it just because I want to see how the loud people,
yeah,
as I call them,
yeah,
deal with it, because it's going to give them headaches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have to come up with something.
So before we get you out of here, a couple more. We might have a bonus question for you.
Ooh.
This is not the bonus, but just to ask the initial question, who do you have,
yeah,
Niners or Chiefs?
God, I feel like Chiefs are going to win, but I would like the Niners to win. I'm a dynasty,
okay,
hater. If it's not the,
yeah,
Spurs, I don't,
sure,
want it.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, hold on now, hold
dynasties
on now. The math ain't math.
I know. It's like I'm a very selfish, self-centered person, so,
mm-hmm,
if it's not mine, don't want it.
There you go. All right.
I admit it.
The bonus question is, and this is the first time we've done this. The first time we've done this, you can choose between the two. You have been around for so long, and we've all watched you kind of just grow, and you're doing your thing. So the two questions you can choose between, you can either let us know or perform a hidden talent.
Oh.
Or
you're dropping this now?
Or tell us something that even the biggest Michelle Beadle fan may not know about you.
Okay. So when I was like in the first grade, that's where we're going, I had a very angelic face.
Okay.
I mean, you would not know, very innocent looking little girl. I used to, you'd have your crayon boxes. Everybody have their little box. And I would go around asking to borrow a crayon. And when I did that, I would steal the 2 dimes that they had for milk in the box. By the way, that's how old I am. Milk was 20 cents. And I would, and then one day my mom found like a Ziploc bag just full of dimes. And was like, what is this? I'm like, And I had to apologize in front of the entire class.
Wow.
Yeah, criminal mastermind could have been my future, but I went for this path.
That just sounds like a business.
Thank you.
That's just good.
It's not my fault they didn't hide their dimes.
Right, right.
You're stupid.
Right. Wow. This has been outstanding. Michelle Beadle, host of Beadle and Decker weekdays from 9 a.m. to noon Pacific time on Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio Channel. Michelle, it has been a pleasure.
This is awesome.
Enjoy the rest of your time. I'll give
By
you
the y'all are in it. Like, you can just watch everything.
Oh, we're, yes.
We're trying Baker to pay
Mayfield
attention.
Walk by. We got Cam over
they
here.
They were doing the haka earlier.
We saw
doing a
Danny DeVito's agent walked by.
Yeah, he talked to me like he knew me, too.
No, I can't.
He talked to me like he knew me, too. I'll give you a hint. I know you got your games. Look, a little bit of roulette. Maybe switch it up a little bit.
No, I have to.
You might have to.
Right away, I'm switching it up.
There you go. There you go. Michelle, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your time in Vegas. Got to get to a break when we get back. More Stiles and Watkins in Vegas, thanks to Jiffy Lube, Sacktown Sports. Thank you again to all of our guests that have joined us so far. And we have more coming up. We are just getting started. And special thanks to Jiffy Lube for making our road trip to Radio Row possible. Jiffy Lube, a proud sponsor of Sacktown Sports. Now, right, we don't have a guest at this very second.
That's
so
exactly.
Apparently there was a trade with the Kings.
Yeah. Oh, can't say that.
I can now. It's a different roster.
There you go.
The K word?
Well, Alan, you'll be disappointed to know when I read this out to you, all of the details. As we learned right before the trade deadline, let me pull it up here. I believe it was Shams Charania who had the news first that the Sacramento Kings did make a trade for one of my favorite players in the NBA. But unfortunately, Alan, and I guess in a weird way, fortunately for you, he will not be playing or suiting up for the Sacramento Kings. From Adrian Wojnarowski, the Milwaukee Bucks are trading Robin Lopez to the Sacramento Kings. Lopez is expected to be waived and become a free agent. Alan Stiles, go ahead, do your victory lap, whatever you need to do. It's official now. We are past 12 o'clock. The deadline is officially dead.
I just realized it's over.
You are right. You are correct. Go ahead.
Well, I told you this was going to happen. I told you this was going to happen.
No, you said it. You said it.
And I didn't want to be right.
No, you didn't.
I did not want to be right.
Nope.
But here we are.
Yep.
Radio Row. It is apparently Thursday is the busiest, and I can believe it. Things have been going on everywhere. And, you know, at least something is happening in Vegas because nothing is happening in Sacramento. Ugh. So Robin, Brooks' brother.
Brooks,
so not
brother,
the one
Robin.
That shoots the threes on.
Not
on
the one
Bucks?
Who shoots three. Yeah, the one that looks like Sideshow Bob, like with the big old.
So
hair.
Why would they trade him just to release him?
That's a fantastic question. I don't have a clear answer to that. but they traded him for cash considerations. So, it's really they didn't give up anything.
Okay.
If I had to guess, it's just they had an open roster spot and it cleared up a little bit of cap space for them. Or maybe they just had – maybe this is just a weird NBA favor that I just don't
NBA
understand because I'm not that deep into it.
NBA favor.
That's the only thing that I can think
of. NBA favor.
Yeah. Yep.
So, in the last – so, not even through the – a little bit more than – 24 hours, not 48 hours, a little more, 24 hours, something like that, or 12 hours, whatever you call it. The Sacramento Kings lost to the worst team in the league.
Yes, yes, that's correct.
And did nothing about it.
Yep, nothing. Not a single thing.
Besides get Robin Lopez, yeah. Who you are, the report is they will release Robin
They
Lopez.
Are going, yes. It is in the same exact tweet as
for some cash.
As him being traded to the Kings is Lopez is expected to be waived and become a free agent.
I mean, I knew that they wouldn't do anything big, but this is bad.
It's not great. It's really not great. Like, again, because, I mean, it feels like the goalpost has moved so much. It was, oh, my God, Kyle Kuzma, Jeremy Grant. And then, you know, when we would do the round tables, it's, all right, maybe like a Royce O'Neal, maybe a Dorian Finney-Smith.
We can
hope for Alex Crusoe. And then the goalpost gets moved all the way back, and it's oh, no, they actually didn't. Absolutely nothing. Not even, you know, swapping a player for the sake of just, I don't know, getting a different mind or a different body in there. No, this is going to be the same Sacramento Kings that we have seen all year long. And in a way, it's a bit like insanity. You know, it's doing the same thing and expecting anything different than what we've seen through, what is it? It's been 50 games or something mm-hmm. like that already. I'm confused.
And can I be honest here?
I hope so.
This is going to be the worst the next couple weeks because I love everyone. Shout out to the SAC chat, the text line. The buyout market stuff, there's nobody.
No,
the only person I would even think about is – that's a great point. They have to pick you, essentially.
Yeah.
P.J. Tucker. I would be interested in P.J. Tucker. Okay, I'm seeing here from Chris Haynes.
I was like, I think
Clippers
I just saw something about Chris.
PJ Tucker will not request, or will not request,
there
excuse
we go.
me, will not request a buyout and will remain with the team through the duration of the season. So you can't even get PJ Tucker.
Nope.
All you get is Robin Lopez, who you're going to move. This is terrible.
It was the
can
best
you at
30
least,
seconds
do you know,
of my
did
life.
The Warriors do anything?
They traded Corey Joseph. They traded Corey
okay,
Joseph
but nothing
to the Pacers,
big.
Which – I mean, Warrior fans, I feel like, are throwing a parade for that. I mean, they were so tired of Corey. I mean, when I went to San Francisco, the first game of this Kings 7-game road trip that they were just on, that was pretty much the only thing I heard from a couple different media, lower-level media members and a couple fans as well. I heard, I don't care what the Warriors do at the day. I don't care if Clay's here. I don't care if Dre's still here. Mm. I just want Corey Joseph gone.
Right.
And so, the Warriors ship off Corey Joseph for a second-round pick and cash consideration. So they pretty much just got him out of town. But, it's really disappointing that even the Kings couldn't even do what they did last year at the deadline.
Nothing.
And bringing in a guy like Kessler Edwards, who even at the moment of the deadline, it was, oh, man, the Kings did nothing. Well, they brought in Kessler Edwards. Now we can actually say, no, the Kings did nothing
Look,
at this deadline.
This is still kind of the T-Wolves' fault. So the T-Wolves, they ruined the trade market.
Yep.
And Karl-Anthony Towns took Sabonis' spot.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what the T-Wolves have done. They're the reason the Kings
Public
don't have an all-star, and they're the reason the Kings, and nobody really was able to make a trade. I'm thinking right now, Chris, though, P.J. Tucker, he's no dummy. The Clippers are rolling now. At this point, it's clear he's just ring chasing anyway.
Right.
Where am I going to go?
Where am I going to go?
Would you rather get an A?
Weather's nice, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Would you rather get an A and do no work?
Yeah.
Or get a C and do some really hard work?
Yeah.
I'll tell you my answer.
Yeah.
It is not do hard work for a C.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we will be joined by Bonnie Jill Laughlin, the first and only female NBA scout, Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. We are back. Sacktown Sports road trip to Radio Row in Las Vegas is brought to you by our friends at Jiffy Lube. When it's time for a road trip, visit Jiffy Lube for all your automotive maintenance needs. Jiffy Lube is your road trip headquarters, and we are now joined by Bonnie Jill Laughlin, the first and only female NBA scout, NFL and NBA dancer. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you. It's fun to be here, right? It's the fourth day, but it's
awesome.
It's a lot, right?
It's our
I don't know how many times
day.
You guys
it's
have been.
This is, our, first time here. But
oh,
this
my
is our
God. Do you love
day.
It?
It's a lot. It's
yes.
a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah. As far as a radio show is concerned, it's not the typical. You know what I mean? But life is about doing different things.
And pivoting and figuring out what works,
being
right?
In the flow state.
Exactly.
That's right. That's right. Also host Odyssey and Fubo TV. Just talk to us a little bit about the NBA scouting and how you have kind of broken into that. Because honestly, when we're sitting in the media area and we see scouts in front of us, it's pretty cool because they're taking notes and we're thinking, is this for free agency?
Yeah.
Is this
right.
for trades? These guys are already in the league. When I think scouts, it's the draft.
Yeah.
These guys are already in the league. What exactly are they scouting?
Right. And those are the advanced scouts usually, mm-hmm. you know, scouting sometimes a game, you know.
Yeah.
But for me, it was college players. And so mm-hmm. they had to have 1 year eligibility, so I didn't – thank God, I didn't have to go to high school. You know, that'd have been, it's already brutal being
yeah,
on the road.
Yeah.
Big 12 and Pac 12, Pac 10 at the time now. There's no conference there. But it was great because the first year, if people don't realize, I didn't even get paid. I was trying to prove myself.
Yeah.
And so I was working on air talent for the flagship for the Lakers. And Phil Jackson and Jerry West, they love my eye for talent. And so I started going on the road and I would come back with scouting reports and they'd be like, wow, you're just, you know, so detailed. You know, like Mitch Kupchak would. And, you know, they wouldn't even – am I still on?
Yes.
I heard that too.
Did you hear that? It dropped, yeah.
Cut out.
Yes.
So they liked my scouting reports, and they signed me to a five-year deal and another five-year
wow.
deal, and I was with them for 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
Got
That's
five
awesome.
Rings, so got some hardware as well.
Oh. Yeah. And you're not wearing any?
Yeah. I've got my Super Bowl ring from the Niners.
Oh,
okay. Yes, that's a lot
more
fitting.
You can wear for different
occasions. I know,
occasions
that must be nice.
There.
Come on.
Yes, right. So the Niners. Eddie DeBartolo, you remember Eddie D?
Yes.
He was the first owner to give cheerleaders rings.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so I was 18 years old, and
wow.
so I was like, this is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
this is normal,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. But to in depth about your questions, like, you know, for me, it's like I loved scouting, but, you know, I kind of missed being on air. So after 13 years, I jumped ship with Phil
mm-hmm.
and ended up getting back on air because I love, you know, baseball, football, basketball,
That's
horse
awesome.
Racing, boxing, MMA. And I wanted to be able to, you know, do that as well. And
yeah.
It was kind of a good time to leave because it was kind of a sinking ship when I left. So I was
yeah.
like, all right, this is the time to go. We're not going to win any more rings for a while. So
yeah. Well, and now even if you would have stayed, you wouldn't have anything to do because LeBron and his team is going to do all the scouting for you.
They run the whole
team.
They
run the whole thing.
He's the GM.
Yes,
yeah.
led
he's
GM.
The coach.
Led
he's
coach.
The, he's yeah. the director of scouting.
Yep. That's right.
Player personnel.
Exactly.
Yep.
And
exactly.
PR and marketing.
Yep.
And sometimes sponsors, depending
That's
if it's a conflict for him.
Exactly. Exactly.
You're actually joining us at a perfect time because it's the trade deadline as well, or just passed. It was pretty quiet.
It was pretty quiet.
And
I'll be honest.
Does that
it was,
surprise you?
It wasn't. I'm not that surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought there was gonna be a couple splashy, you know, type of trades, but I don't know. It's tough. The game has changed, and the way that the GMs handle these trades, they talk to have, you know, before it'd be them.
Yeah.
You know, they, a couple of people, but now it's like they have to talk to the coach, they have to talk to the players, they have
right.
to talk. And there's so
agents.
Many different moving
yeah.
parts, agents, to see if it's going to work, if it's going to fit. There's so much heaviness on them if they do the wrong trade. If it's not going to work, if the players, there's going to have chemistry. If the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If there's enough balls on the court, you know
yeah.
what I
yeah.
mean? Do you know what I mean? Because everyone's a ball hog. Everyone's
Absolutely.
A, you know, who's going to run up the ball? It's like, I don't know. It's changed.
Yeah.
From when I was scouting and there.
Right.
So
right.
how much does the scout – or scouts in general, like how much is it a collaborative effort with everyone, with the GMs, with the coaches, with the players to understand that you guys are all trying to pull on the same string?
Yeah, for me, it was Phil Jackson. So it's someone with a really high basketball IQ is
right.
you know, key because of running that triangle. I mean,
yeah.
you could be a great basketball player, but if you didn't have that IQ and you
right.
want to run and gun, it's not about that with, you know, with Phil.
Yeah.
And Phil liked big guards. And there's so many things that Phil didn't like or liked. And so, do you know what I mean? It wasn't
mm-hmm.
like just looking for talent. You
right.
had to think of, like, what Phil wanted. And
yeah.
the Lakers, you know, we always had a really low draft pick, or sometimes we even have one
right.
because we were winning it.
Yeah.
So overseas was really important. There were so many things that our scouts were – kind of under fire because we had to try to still find someone even though we had already had our roster.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it was good. Like Jordan Farmar was my first guy. I don't remember him.
Nice. Yeah, UCLA.
Yeah. And so he was kind of my feather in my cap for the first one
nice.
Because everyone's like, oh, UCLA kid, but they weren't sure how he would mesh in with the rest of the team and with D Fish and he did well.
Yeah.
yeah. Talking to Bonnie Jill Laughlin, host Odyssey Fubo TV, and we know we'll get it in for Jay, UT alum. So
yes,
we'll
there you go.
But you know what? I don't get all. I don't
we
get.
Know, Jay, we know.
But
we
you know what? I don't get crazy when they do the horns down. Everyone's getting all sensitive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't,
yeah.
I'm not sensitive
deal.
About that. But I mean,
it's a big
when you
deal.
Go to UT, we're used to haters, right?
Exactly.
So you got, you know, the Aggies used to do it to us.
Yeah,
all the Sooners.
We don't even recognize.
I know.
Right.
But, and now that we're going to the SEC, we're going to get a lot of haters. You know what I mean? So it's like, but the more haters, you know, the better. But I think when people get sensitive about it, you're just bringing it to the forefront. I just don't say anything.
Right.
Then,
that's,
you know,
like the Russell Westbrook thing. Yes. Oh, don't call me Westbrook. Yeah. And what
now
do you
we
think
all
people
call
are going
of
to
course.
Do?
Yeah.
What do you think people
of course.
Are going to do? You know, it's a great note that you said on Phil Jackson, because what we talk about on this show is that just like in dating, there are teams that have types. And Kyle Shanahan definitely has a type.
Yeah.
He likes dudes that are not afraid of contact, right?
Yep.
So when you see a Debo, when you see a George Kittle, they all fit that type. What have you seen from the Niners to make you feel like, obviously, we are the Sacramento Niners flagship.
Flagship.
What do you see from the Niners that makes you feel, we'll get to your official pick later, but what do you see from the Niners that makes you feel like they can beat that boogeyman number 15 and the Kansas City Chiefs?
It's really tough, okay, because I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to be a homer. But it's like, first of all, I don't want to get to the Super Bowl again and lose. Ooh, I don't want to be the Buffalo Bills. You know, we have five, but do you know what I mean?
Recent. It starts to become a thing.
And so it's like the fact that we haven't been able to get to the quarterback is a very big issue with me. We have not been the same defense that you've seen regular season, correct?
Yeah.
It's like, what is that? You know, it's like, oh, the rust, you know, the bye. No, that's usually for a quarterback. The rest of the guys should actually be good for them, right, to get healthy. So I'm really scared about that, the pass rush, and to be able to get to the quarterback. And you can't leave any time on the clock. That guy will run right down the field. He'll beat you with his arms. He'll beat you with his legs. Like, so I'm optimistic. If we have the team we've had regular season, I think we'll be okay. Mm-hmm. We can't let them get ahead.
Yeah,
we know that, because we can't come from behind each game, especially with this team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and – I have a lot of faith in Brock. He showed that he could beat you with his legs, which was shocking, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, here we go, Brock, you know?
Yeah.
I think he wants to get that monkey off his back, Shanahan. Shanny has to. I mean, from Atlanta to the 49ers, he wants to win it too.
Right.
And I love Shanahan because he was our ball boy when I was a cheerleader. He
really?
Was our ball boy.
Wow.
Yeah, because Mike was our DC.
Right.
And then Ed McCaffrey was on our team. And then you got CMC. It's like kind of like a very, almost like if you want to see the stars are aligning, maybe it is.
Yeah.
And we know, regardless of like the talent, sometimes the stars do have to align. It has to be a little bit of luck. And I like how Nick Bosa said, you know, the Chiefs, they hold a lot. And it's like he kind of put that in the air for the rest of the game.
It was smart.
Because if you're a rep, you're going to say, I may be looking at it a little longer, right? So, you know, I like that he did that on opening night. I'm being optimistic. I am scared of Mahomes, you know, and I don't, you know.
I mean, rightfully so.
And Kelsey's playing out of his mind right now. You know, they're saying there's that Taylor Swift, like, distraction? No.
I know.
It's
Come
lifted them.
Yeah.
You've got the Swifties like, you know what I mean?
It's
like
a lot of motivation. Yeah. I would not want to disappoint those people.
Right.
No.
But I just can't. Oh, God, if they win again.
Ugh.
Oh, my God. I just can't.
This is supposed to be their down year.
I know. That's the tough thing,
All
too.
Season, I was saying Mahomes is not having a great season.
Yeah.
He's not having great, the numbers.
I didn't think they were barely going to make the playoffs.
Thank you.
For the AFC West being so bad.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
you know, and I was pulling hard for the Ravens. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, wow, you're a huge Ravens fan. I'm like, no. First of all, I'm a Lamar Jackson fan. I've watched him since Louisville. I love him.
Right.
Yeah.
But I just want, can we just please do it? Can we please get this W?
Yeah. Got to.
You know.
Bonnie, quick question. And this is something that I know, just knowing you a little bit, that you can really speak to. Carissa Thompson came out and had a lot of heat this past season, right, about people who do just what you do.
Yeah.
And you've been around
for
a while. You've been blessed to do it.
Yeah.
You've been one of the best. Speak to that. Like, did that offend you as, you know, in the position that you've been in? Or did you understand it? Or were you able to see through kind of what she was saying?
Yes. Okay, there's a lot of layers to that.
Yes. Yeah.
First off, I don't get sensitive. I have very thick skin. After being, you know, in the position I've been in, I'm like, okay.
Right.
You know, people take everything very for what, like, maybe they interpret it differently than I would. When she said it, I'm like, first of all, let's see what the platform she was on. She was on Barstool.
Right.
Okay, so she was kind of letting her hair down, kind of having fun.
Yep.
Like, you know, they're bringing it out. She's, you know, and she's, I love Carissa, you know. So I think she has to be careful what she said, because you can't say that you make up the reports.
Mm.
You know, that was the one thing. She could have said that I elaborate sometimes or I know what he usually said. There was something more that she could have said. I think it was bad because, unfortunately, with a woman in sports, anything that is negative, it sets us way back.
Yes.
You know, because we're under a microscope. We say a player's last name wrong, we are crucified. Y'all say it and it's like whatever.
That's
fine.
Right.
I mean, it's just where you know, we know what it is. But I think by her saying that, now people are like, oh, because I've had people say, oh, did you make up your reports?
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It loses our credibility.
Everybody,
and so it's like, great. And you know, I've done a lot of sideline, and you're like, no, like I have first of all, we do so much research. Then we, like, go to the coach. We're asking tons of questions. You know what I mean? It's like we never make up a report. If anything, I'm, like, really, like, scared about misinterpreting, like, verbatim, like, saying the wrong – you know what I mean? Like,
elaborating.
I always say, coach said, quote, blah, blah, blah.
You want to transcribe it properly.
Yes, because you have to be careful. And so I think it – I'm going to be honest. I think it set us back, and I thought it was really a bad hit on women in sports. But I love Krissa. So, do you know what I mean? You know, it's like it's hard.
I ask you that because, again, going back to our time in Fox sideline reporting and things like that, you were one of the people who always called on time. You were one of the people that, you know, we got – and I'll take it behind the curtain. It was, you know, per game we had the play-by-play, the analyst, or the sideline reporter. And we had one of you that would call in, give us a pre and a post. And you were always on point, right?
Thank you.
And so it was always one of those things where if we weren't able to get the proper report, it might set off something wrong. So I just wanted to make sure I asked you that.
No, it's true. Yes. I mean, you can't – I mean, it's like it's like saying, oh, someone tore his ACL and they didn't. I mean, it's not as extreme as that, but I'm just saying it's still – you can't say you make up, especially with a coach. People want to know what the coach is saying. You can't say – I mean, we know what he's going to say, kind of. Yes. We kind of know. You know,
but and not that a lot of people really care.
And I know.
That was the big question, right?
No, and I like that you said that because that's what it was. He made a great point. Because he said that, oh, you know, they don't even listen to sideline reporters. So now people, our fans are saying, yeah, we don't need them. If they're making out the reports, then why do we need them? Yeah. Now you're taking money out of my pocket.
Right. That's true.
You know, now they're saying they don't need sideline reporters. Yep. So that was –
if they're making up stuff anyway.
Right.
You know, all right. Yeah. Well, we'll get you out of here. Let's get your pick. And also, if you want to talk a little bit about your charity, Hounds and Heroes,
and my book,
that as well, and your book as well.
Yeah. So prediction. I don't like to predict. You know why? Because every time I predicted the Niners, it's a jinx. So I'm not gonna. I'm hoping the Niners win, but I think it's gonna be a close game.
You are the first one to abstain, which we respect.
And the only reason is because every time I've said it, I'm telling you, it's not. Gone.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. That's a true
And I
fan.
Guess I'm superstitious. I know. And it's like I cover the team, but I'm like, I guess I'm a kind of a homer.
Yeah. That's a true fan you know? Right there.
But I'm also, I know what, you know, what we need to do.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, I hope that Shanahan knows. Shanny, please don't abandon the run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And then when we need to open offense, please do that. Don't go conservative on me.
Right.
Yeah.
So. All right. Tell us about your book.
In a League of Our Own. So female first in sports. And it's I wanted to have a book that encompasses all the women that have paved the way, you know, and pioneers. So Billie Jean King is my chapter one. Layla Ali, Jackie Joyner Kersee, Mary Lou Retton, Danica Patrick. I can go on and on. And it's like all the women, all the sacrifices and everything they did. And I want a book that the younger females could look at and say, oh, wow, I have a dream. Oh, I can be on the ice. I can be off the ice. I can be in the front office. And I'm a female. And that dream can actually come true and come to fruition.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Yep. You know, I grew up with two sisters, mom, grandma. So to see that type of stuff and for them to know what's possible, that's outstanding.
Right.
Yep. And your charity, Hounds and Heroes.
Hounds, Heroes, and Horses. We rescue dogs, and we pair them up with wounded warriors that need a service dog, therapy dog, I should say, as well. Amputees, PTS, TBI. We're also now doing CTE for athletes who want an equine therapy for disabled children. So just a way to give back. Animals do wonders for humans, you know, even if you're not going through struggling with those problems. So I was like, let me make a difference and try to, you know, do something. So I got a ranch in Fort Worth and have everyone come over and play with animals.
There you go. That's awesome. Bonnie Jill Laughlin, thank you so much. Catch her on Odyssey. Catch her Fubo TV. And we won't do the horns down. We won't be disrespectful.
And go to Amazon for my book.
And go to Amazon for her book. Thank you so much,
and hook
Bonnie.
Hook them up.
All right. Got to get to a break. When we get back, more Styles and Watkins live from Las Vegas. Thanks to Jiffy Lube, Sacktown Sports. We are back. Styles and Watkins taking you up to 2 p.m. We are joined by the one, the only, Brian Jones, CBS Sports college football analyst. Another Texas Longhorn.
Talk to him. Talk to him. Hey,
I'm starting to feel like, talk to him. Like Jay's intentionally doing
this. Play with
this.
The Raiders, the Colts, the Saints. Thank you so much for being with us,
you
Brian.
You got it, man. Back-to-back hook 'em.
That's right. And I'm not mad at it. I, look, I've seen you all day. You've been running around doing different hits, so I appreciate you taking the time.
No problem, man. Jay told me I had to get my ass over here since we graduated from the same school. Yeah, so I had to listen to my man. You know, yeah. That's fam now.
There you go. And look, you're good in my book. Whenever you bring gifts, and by the way, because, you know, we live on YouTube and people always joking me. So basically, Brian comes with these shirts. We're about to talk about Watson X. We're about to talk about it. And Brian says, what size shirt do you need, right? So I say, you know, he said, you need a large or extra large? I say, oh, you know, I'm more of a large. He goes, don't be wearing those schmedium shirts. But that's what I do. I need the schmedium sometimes, you know.
Show off them guns, baby.
I'm not in the gym for nothing, bro.
Thank you.
You know how it is. You know how it is. So let's talk about Watson X and everything that it's doing. Look, I know you – look, Jay is taking shots at Temple for no reason, okay?
But so he needs to take a shot.
Well, that's what I'm saying, all right? So I'm big on college sports. This is a recruiting portal.
Yes.
You can talk about Watson X. Talk about your feelings on the transfer portal, mm-hmm. NIL. The floor is yours.
My business partner is a former NFL player such as me, Kenyon Rashid. He's got this vast technology background. We've been doing sports, biz development, and marketing for the last 20 years and applying technology to needs in the sports world. Mm-hmm. And we found, as I'm sure everyone's aware that follows college football with this shifting landscape, there are so many inefficiencies in the space currently. So how can we assist the athlete as well as the coaches in the recruiting process? And the key is to aggregate all this data that's out there, right. All these different variables that go into picking a school or choosing the right recruit for your program. So we're aggregating all that data under our platform, Edge3.ai, and we've partnered with IBM and their Watson X technology to power our engine. Watson X has been in business, or IBM, I should say, has been in business over 100 years, and they've been in sports, Wimbledon, U.S. Open, the Masters Golf Tournament. Their predictive analytics has been utilized in all those different sports I just mentioned. We want to incorporate it into our engine and help with the predictive probability analytics that we are putting together. Mm-hmm. So athletes, their parents, the coaches can go through and they can find as much information as they need to make an informed decision. That's the key.
Yeah.
And hopefully that mitigates some of this jumping around in the transfer portal. If from the outset, I can identify the right school, the right program. Hey, is this coach, is he my cup of tea? Because I may be a cat that's shy. Mm-hmm. And this dude's yeller. He's a yeller. I may go into my shell. Yeah. I probably shouldn't go to that school.
Right.
So there are different variables. It's more than do they win. They're more than, you know, are they on television? How many bowls have they gone to? You've got to dig a little deeper, do some more due diligence. And on the flip, these coaches, it's much riskier nowadays, mm-hmm. with the portal, with NIL, all the money that's associated with recruiting. It's much riskier. So if I miss on a player, it's similar to the pros now. If I go out and draft someone or get a free agent who doesn't pan out, how do I go now explain that to my bosses upstairs?
Yeah.
Right. I say, well, I just leaned on the legacy models, you know, the on-threes or the 24-7s, and I'm not denigrating those.
Right.
Those models. I'm just saying we're going to dig a little deeper. We're going to give you a lot more information to help you make a better decision.
Yeah.
So now if I'm that coach, I can say, hey, athletic director, this is what we use. We would sift through massive amount of information and data to arrive at this decision to take this particular recruit, then pan out. But I bet saying that will help you a lot more than saying, well, he had 4 stars by this entity, he had 5 stars by that, and which is very subjective.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, that recruit can now, if I'm 5'6", 180, Texas ain't calling me to play running back.
Not at all.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So I can have a window into that position room, mm-hmm. and see if there are any guys that their metrics fit mine.
Right.
We're going to have comparative analysis. We can project possibly down the road. I can put you up, Will Anderson Jr., number 3 pick in the draft last year, partner in the company. And we did this for Will, man. So now you got comparative analysis of Will as an edge rusher. Here comes another edge rusher. Okay, we're going to juxtapose your numbers with Will's. Not saying you're going to turn into a Will Anderson.
Right.
But there's a probability if everything is comparable that you could. But this is what you're going to have to do to get to where Will is today. So you have that comparative analysis side by side, see where you can get to where there's a possibility for you. So it's a win-win for everyone involved, man. And we want to just try to make this less riskier, more efficient for the recruiters and for the parents. I was recruiting. I didn't know what the hell to ask them. I was just happy they were knocking on my door. Help get me out of the ghetto.
And on top of that, B, is you're speaking from existence because you started at UCLA, right?
Yeah. I transferred to Texas.
Texas. That's right. Exactly.
And it wasn't because of lack of playing time or any of that. Actually, I took a pay cut when I left UCLA. I can say that now.
Listen,
when NIL was there, it was just under the table.
That's right.
Right. Exactly.
The caddy to the Buick, huh?
But the issue with NIL and how it's being applied, it's not being done in the manner in which it was intended. This is pay for play right now, which I'm a big proponent of NIL. You should be able to benefit from your name, image, and likeness now while you're playing. Your earning potential should not be deferred. That's bull dookie. So, but these collectives and all that's not sustainable.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. And NIL, if I'm just going to give a kid some money, what's the return on my investment? Right. Is it a national title? Mm. Is it a conference title? What is it? So I think, and I've noticed this earlier when NIL came online 2 years ago, everybody at the media days, dude, they were decked out and they Christians and they Gucci,
Shane
Prada.
Yeah,
last year, it was only a few cats. So there's always, there's already been a leveling of the market. Because the free market is saying this ain't sustainable. We can't spend all this money, and it's not helping my bottom line.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing if I want to help a kid out, cool. You know, here's a few ducats. But if I'm spending hundreds of thousands of dollars annually, how does that help my business? It doesn't.
Yeah. And I think initially the big pushback with why paying players wasn't okay as well was because the hierarchy that it creates in the locker room as well at that level in college. Mm. It's all supposed to be, you guys are all in college. There's not levels of this. You're not professionals yet. But being a Texas alum, I mean, you got guys like Arch Manning who just walks in. Didn't take a snap this year really and gets paid one of the top NIL dollars. You see Bronny James who's one of the top NIL.
Averaging 5 points a game.
Man,
Averaging five points a game. Is that good for the sport of college?
It's not good. It's not sustainable. And I'll push back somewhat because what we've always said about big-time college sports, that's the only place where socialism is allowed. No matter what you produce, you could be the starter on the team or you could be sitting the bench, but they want everyone to get the same damn thing.
Yeah.
They love equity. When it comes to that, you can say the E word there, but don't say that in larger society. Don't say socialism in larger society.
Yeah.
And there's always been a hierarchy.
Yeah.
We knew the quarterback was going to get the prettier girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We knew that he was going to get the most attention or what have you.
They tell you that in the movies.
That's how it's been set up, man. So we've always known that. So I don't think there's going to be a big rift in that locker room because – this guy's getting that or that. And there's been some wise cats that Bijan Robinson was one of them at Texas.
Yeah.
And Arch Manning is another one. To your point, though, he hasn't done anything, but that name carries weight.
Of course, yeah.
And they're hoping that's going to drive conversions. That's the key to all of this.
Right.
But those guys have been mindful that I need to help these other cats that block for me. And I want to give some to my brothers in this locker room. Yeah, I want to help family out, but these cats here, let me spread some of this wealth. And that's a great testament to the makeup of those young men and young women that do that as well. So the model, it needs some correcting, and it will. This is not surprising to me that this is Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
I knew it would be, even though I was there, clamoring for NIL to come online. I said, this is going to be crazy because there are no guardrails, but we're just going to have to work ourselves through it. And there are a lot of things that have happened, whether it's in sports or outside of sports, where there were unintended consequences.
Yeah.
But eventually we wrapped our arms around it and we came to some type of uniformity, and that's what's needed. I would suggest we make Nick Saban, who's recently retired, the czar of college football.
Yeah.
Whom better? Yeah. Whom better to pull all the pieces together and say, hey, let's get in the damn room and figure this out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Rocking with Brian Jones, of course, of CBS Sports. Of course, Hook 'em Horns, UT alum. Brian, something else that's happening in college football that I think a lot of people are looking forward to, as we just saw the Final Four playoff, moving to 12, man. What's your thoughts on that?
I'm all for it. I was for expansion when they announced it was just going to be four. That's not enough.
Is 12 too much, though?
Nah.
No?
We'll see.
Because I thought like eight was maybe the cutoff.
I want some football.
Okay.
And, you know, it's funny to me that.
But what, okay, not to cut you away real quick. What happens if a team, let's just say Temple, is 10-3?
That's a stretch. You know, my boy, Allen Johnson. My homeboy Arthur Johnson's there. AJ is the AD. Arthur, I'm pulling for you.
But let's just say they lost 3 games.
Yep.
I'm not saying you shouldn't be in a position to maybe play your way into championship, but we know in college every week makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
When you get down to 12, it's kind of like guys have lost 4 times and all of that. I mean, is that
– Here's the deal. College is looking more and more like the NFL.
Okay.
Across the board, whether it's transfer portal, that's just straight up free agency. Mm-hmm. Now you have money involved. Guys are getting paid. Eventually they're going to have to be under contract so we can make this stuff binding, and that'll mitigate some of the movement too as far as the transfer portal. So I don't care about that. That's okay. Fine. You're going to have some guys that with blemishes and some without. That's great. In the NFL, teams with blemishes, look at how KC struggled this year. They got straight. Mm-hmm. They found their groove, and they're back in the Super Bowl. So you're going to have blemishes, man, and you got them playing 12, 15 games currently. So What's wrong with a few more? So this all this bull dookie about, oh, they're going to miss Clay. You don't give a damn about Clay.
Right.
This is a product that's making a mint. Right. I mean, the 14 playoff, that's almost $500 million they're generating. Oof. Just from that. Oof. So you tell me, just because we got a team in there that's 10-3 that's sitting in that 12 slot, I'm not going to watch them play the number one team? Hell yeah, I'm going to watch them, because – this is what gets me about folks. They are clamoring for football all year long.
Right.
It gets here. Then they start complaining about the teams you're playing. I get it. I understand the directional schools. Mm-hmm. It's not entertaining. Must-see TV. But then now we got a 12-team playoff. They're complaining about that. They complain about all the bowls. Mm-hmm. You don't like it, don't watch it.
Right.
But people are sponsoring these bowls because somehow, some way, they're making some money. Mm-hmm. Or it's – for them, we just want visibility for our brand. So it's a good business decision as far as they're concerned, and it's their money. So I'm not going to count their pockets. So with 12 teams, you don't like it, don't freaking watch it. I'm going to be watching because I want more college football.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's going to be entertaining. Some games will be blowout. Look at what we've had in the 14 playoff. What did Bama do to Michigan State?
Yeah.
Skunked it. What was it, 49 or nothing?
Yeah, they didn't even come.
What has happened to Notre Dame when they've gotten in there?
Ooh, I mean, Michigan got jumped
whether
on
it's
by
four,
Georgia.
Whether it's 12, yes. And TCU, wow. We don't want to bring up that. So whether it's 4 or it's 12, you're going to have some blowouts, but I'm just happy we still have football.
That's right. That's right. Brian, before we get you out of here, I did want to say, as we're talking a lot about college sports, college football, which, you know, I love, the one thing that I really hope that your recruiting platform does also help, and you keep talking about mitigating the transfers, these coaches, Brian, they're over-recruiting. And they've always over-recruited.
Always, yes.
Right? But when people say, oh, nobody wants to work hard, they just want to jump around, it's because they get there, and sometimes it's you know about it. Sometimes you don't. You show up, there's 14 other running backs, but it's Alabama. How could you say no? You try your best, and you don't move. All right, I got to get out of here.
Well, don't be scared of competition, one. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you want to move on, move. But this 3 and 4 – you know, 5 transfers. Come on, baby.
Yeah.
And Grandma
come on.
Used to say, boy, go somewhere, sit down, and be still.
And that's what they
need to hear. And also, we learned, as old heads, you don't leave a job unless you got another one lined up. So you got all these kids that are languishing in the transfer portal. And so we're hoping Edge3.ai can assist. We've already done it. We helped Will Anderson Jr. with his NIL. We help his brand as a collegiate guy and garnering more money for his NIL deals. They were just sending your garden variety deals and your autograph signings, legacy, marketing. No. We're thinking outside of that. And you're going to pay this kid more than what this contract says because of his brand. So that's the key, these young men understanding that they are a brand. And I think they are more and more. I guess it was Jay-Z who said it. I'm a brand.
Yeah.
And so they get that, but there's still some education that needs to take place. And that's why we're developing Edge3.ai. AI and the coaches, man, they ain't got time to look through all this stuff, look at all this film, and sift through all this information. So how do we make that more feasible for them? Because they don't want to read – they're busy enough. Mm-hmm. They ain't got time to read all that. And we've leaned on coaches. We have had focus groups with high school players. Mm-hmm. We've had them with recruiting coordinators at the collegiate level. We're going to be sitting down with other Power 5 conferences, get in there in their war room, see where the challenges are. And we're going to listen to them and help them build out Edge3.ai along with IBM's Watson X.
All right, before we get you out of here, got to take it to the NFL. Who you got on Sunday?
I cannot go against Patrick Mahomes. Man. He is such – that cat is special. And I'm not taking anything away from the 49ers. They've had a heck of a year. I think it's going to be 38-31 Chiefs. Mm.
Okay. Ooh, high score.
Yeah. Let's hope for it, baby.
Take over. Great. Come on, man.
Brian Jones, man. CBS Sports College football analyst, thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah. Appreciate you guys.
We'll definitely have
you
on again soon. All right, let's get to a break. Styles and Watkins live from Vegas. Thanks to Jiffy Lube, Sactown Sports.